Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am presenting my almost famous chats from the late 1980s and early 1990s. I was a music critic at the Baltimore News American and then at the Baltimore Evening Sun when I was a teenager, and interviewed many, many legends then and legends now, and presenting all of them, almost 100 Rock and Roll Hall of Famers in totality, at a music classic at our Baltimore Positive mothership at BaltimorePositive.com. You can check it out. This is Dickie Betts of the Allman Brothers Band. One of the several, or in many cases, some of my interviews were better than others, and I knew or cared more about certain artists. This was one of the things I was just doing, advancing a show. I did not know a lot about the Allman Brothers, know a lot more about them now than I did then, and I apologize to the late, great Dickie Betts for my ignorance, but he was kind. He spent 10 minutes trying to educate me, and that's all we can ask for in life. Dickie Betts from the legendary Allman Brothers Band.
How you doing?
All right, how are you?
You got everything together there?
Yeah, I didn't know he was calling. He kind of surprised me. How you doing?
So he threw you on. Are you in a talkative mood or not?
Well, we'll see what happens.
How's the tour going?
It's going great.
Or is it going as good as last year's win, or is it a little more spontaneity?
Well, the tour is on another plane from last year. You know, we have the new album out, and, you know, everything's... we're doing a lot of new stuff, and then the crowds appreciate that.
Were you doing any new music last year? Was it all just like a greatest hits kind of show?
No, it was a real safe thing last year. We didn't have a new record, so we didn't want to just spring things that we had written on the audiences that they hadn't heard on the radio or didn't have at home, you know.
Right.
So we played a few things from Greg's albums last year, and some from my Pattern Disruptive album, and then played a lot of the Allman Brothers standards, you know.
So why, when you reunited, it was just for the tour at that point, right?
No, it wasn't. It was to, we reunited to get ready to make an album, because Epic had asked us to make a record, and actually they wanted us to go in the studio then and make an album and then tour, and we didn't want to go in the studio without playing together for a while. You know, we did the tour, and coincidentally and very luckily on our parts, the Polygram decided to release that Dreams package.
Right.
Just about that time. So that gave us a little bit of something to go out on, you know, behind that.
So why, you reunited because Epic asked you to, or because, I mean, had you and Greg been speaking over all the years, or?
We had been asked to reunite by a lot of different people at a lot of different times, and we just didn't think it would work because of the trend of the music, and there was really no area for us to move into with the 1980s disco rock kind of thing, and so we just reluctantly, you know, turned down a lot of deals, and but with the blues oriented rock and roll making a comeback, it seemed obvious to everybody by that time, and we decided to go ahead and reunite, and because we saw an area ahead that we could move into.
Well, both your solo careers, they weren't, you know, flogging, were they? I mean, they were doing okay. I heard your song on the radio, and I surely heard Greg's stuff.
Yeah, Greg and I both made very, very respectable records, but, you know, our stuff is never what the Allman Brothers can do, if the Allman Brothers have the area to work in, you know. So everything looked good, and Greg's record was behind him. He had the choice of either starting an Allman Brothers project or starting a new one of his own, and I was in the same position. My record was, you know, I'd finished it and did the touring, and it was coming down off the charts, and was obviously the whole thing was over, and so we were open to do a new project, so we jumped on the Allman Brothers thing.
So is it safe to say you guys have had your differences over the years?
No, that's not safe to say at all.
What happened that broke the band up back in 1980?
I'm so tired of going into all this. You know, I don't even know why you want to ask that, because it's been done, redone, and overdone.
Well, I don't know. I just don't know the reason, you know.
No, I mean, let me put it to you this way. You know, you can't work together for 20 years without having differences. I mean, if you've ever known anybody that did that, I mean, Jesus Christ had differences with his disciples, you know. I mean, didn't even enter into it. We worked together for 20 years and we had our differences and they don't amount to that much. The thing is, we're back together now.
So what did Butch Trucks and Jamo do during this period of time that you guys were solo?
What did J-Mo and Butch,
yeah,
what were they doing? Well, J-Mo was playing with a jazz band in Atlanta and doing a lot of sessions during the 80s, and Butch had a studio and had his own band in Tallahassee, and Tallahassee's a big college town, so they played a lot of college things around and stayed very active in that area.
So there's really no arm twisting going on here to get everybody back together then?
There was what?
No arm twisting going on here. Everybody was all for it and really easy.
No, we were all ready to do the thing. You know, like I say, we had financially we would have benefited by coming together a long time ago, but we just all, thank goodness, had enough foresight to see that it would be a detriment to the Allman Brothers band name if we did. It would have been like a last hurrah kind of deal, you know, and we didn't want to do that. So this looked very positive, and it's turning out to be very positive, and so we, everybody's happy that we did get back together, including the people that's coming to see us.
Even after all these years, is there any thoughts of Dwayne?
I've got a lot of static, Nestor. I'm having trouble hearing you here.
Okay.
Hold on just a minute.
Sure.
See if we can do something about it. We've got a lot of static. Yeah. Let us get to this toll booth and we'll continue. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, it seems to calm down a little bit.
Okay. On Seven Turns, what were you trying to do with it? Trying to sound like an old, you know, like the old stuff, or trying to keep the old fans happy, or you think you're broadening out a little bit with this?
What we were doing is just trying to sound like the Allman Brothers band. We had the record preceding that back in 1981, we were all very disappointed with the only record we ever made that we were absolutely disappointed with. And the reason was is we had a lot of input from the record company to try to sound different than the Allman Brothers band sound, to try and fit this trend, which we didn't really see too much in anyway, which is the disco rock kind of thing. So that's really why we broke up at that point, is to keep from having to make another record that like that. So we went back in the studio this time with the idea of if we can play Allman Brothers music and do what we want to do, and without being dictated to by what might make the top 10 or something, we'll do it. And so we got Tom Dowd, who is he's a cornerstone of the Allman Brothers band, and he's been in the middle of everything since we began. And went back in, and the record company left us alone. In fact, they were tickled to death with the results of the recordings, and everybody's happy. So as far as trying to make an old Allman Brothers record or a new one or anything, no, we were just very innocently writing songs that we thought were good, and going in and doing the very best we could, and it came out to be a very good album.
Did it come easy?
Pardon me?
Did it come easy after being on the road for a couple months last summer?
It came very easy, yeah, because we did 10 or 12 weeks out on the road, and we wrote a lot together, and the gears were well oiled, and we knew going into the studio exactly what we were going to do.
Well, it seemed like there's a lot of sharing going on with the vocals and the leads and the riffs and all that, you know, a lot of piano and stuff like that. It seems like it's a well-balanced kind of album. It's not all guitar music or whatever.
Yeah, well, all the tracks were cut basically live. I mean, there's seven players in the band, and when the track goes down, there's seven players out there. And, we don't do this kind of drums and bass track and then add to it. And so that is where the power of this band is more or less playing live. So we try to recreate that live thing in the studio, which is very difficult.
Hello? Hello? Hold on. I think we're going to get it. Hello?
If you can hear me.
Yeah, I'm just barely getting you here.
Yeah,
can you hear? as far as reaching a new audience, are you seeing new fans at these shows?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of 17-year-old headbangers, and you know, they always make it to the front of the stage. But there's a lot of 30-35-year-old people out there that we can tell, you know, experienced the band and earlier, you know, and it's a nice thing.
All right, well, I really appreciate it. We'll get going before the remote gets us going. thank you for talking to me today.
Yeah.
And I hope to see you Saturday.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.